Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is Craig Tarvinen. He's from the Copper Country Vegans. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I thought that it was an interesting topic when I came across that you recently had an event at the Portage Lake District Library. And I wanted to first let me ask, how did that go?
That went really well. I mean, unfortunately, you know, we picked a day that Mother Nature was kind of working against us. And so a number of people that had intended to attend could not. You know, they were coming either from the Marquette area or even coming from Calumet was a bit of a challenge that day. For the weather, I mean, we had 8 people show up, so I thought that was a beautiful turnout for, you know, a initial event, and, you know, considering the weather, that was great. That was great.
Well, I think it still kind of served its purpose in one regard, is that as somebody who's usually on top of some things going on in town, I wasn't aware of the group. And so it was able to generate a little bit of publicity and, of course, led to, you know, us doing this interview. And we can kind of, you know, as we talk about what veganism is and what would lead people to be a vegan, I could probably safely say that you're not going to convince me in the next 25 minutes to become a vegan, but it doesn't have to be. And for people that are listening, that doesn't have to be the point of this conversation. It's to understand, you know, what being a vegan is all about. What would lead people to make that choice? So educational, really. I'm interested in finding out. So let's start with, people may have different definitions of what a vegan is and sometimes confused with what a vegetarian is. So can you clarify that for us?
Well, a vegetarian is different from a vegan in the sense that, okay, they both have decided not to eat meat products, meat or animal products. But the vegetarian, they continue to drink milk products, eat eggs. Eat honey, those types of things, whereas a vegan does not eat those.
I once worked a co-worker who described herself as a sort of a in-between, in that she wouldn't eat anything that had a face. And I said, well, then vegan was becoming more popular. This would be about 10 years ago.
Sure.
And I was like, well, that's not vegan. That's more the
vegetarian. That's more the vegetarian, correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Let me start with you, your background. Have you always been into this type of eating?
No, I have not. Actually, this is a fairly new journey for me. I mean, this all started approximately 4 years ago when my son decided he was going to become vegetarian for, you know, moral reasons. And so just around the house, we were eating less and less meat because we were supporting his lifestyle. It was, you know, maybe several months into that, I saw a video that he wanted me to see, and they were talking about the health implications of eating meat, meat and dairy products. And one of the studies that they pointed out, or one of the things they pointed out, was during World War II in Norway, you know, it was occupied by the Germans, and they showed that the instances of heart disease and stroke plummeted during the German occupation years for the fact that all of the meat, all of the animals were kind of commandeered to support the troops. And so, you know, the local inhabitants, you know, they were forced into kind of a plant-based diet. And, you know, just the instances of heart disease and stroke plummeted. And then once the war was over, you can slowly see those creep back up. And so it was at that point that, you know, I wasn't eating much meat anyway. I'm like, you know, I'm going to cut it out. And so that was kind of the first step of my journey. And so at that point, I was vegetarian. And then it's interesting, once you live that lifestyle for a while, your justifications for eating meat kind of start to fall away, and you start to get more in line with kind of the moral aspects of it, you know, to really consider, you know, what is it that's happening with these animals. And so that's, you know, about 2 years ago, I made the decision that, okay, I'm going to go all the way. I'm going to go vegan.
So prior to this, you were, you know, a regular old carnivore, grabbing a Burger King burger every now and then.
Yeah, I was the carnivore's carnivore. I mean, I took great pride in eating a 16-ounce steak. You know, I mean, I was definitely raised meat and potatoes, you know, and that's the way I ate all my life up until now.
What changes were you feeling in your body, both either positive or negative, as far as withdrawal-wise, when you started changing your diet?
I'm also a little bit of an athlete, and I did notice that, you know, things became easier as I was removing myself from the meat and finally the dairy. The dairy was a big one. I could really notice it in my body when you know, once I got off of the meat, and, you know, there is an initial period of, you know, some amount of cravings, and, you know, it's all a question of how you treat this. Are you treating this as a diet, or are you treating this as a life commitment? You know, and so when you treat it as a diet, you know, you kind of have these cravings, or it's kind of the mentality of I can't have this, I can't have that type of thing, and it makes it kind of worse. And so once I committed to it, then that kind of went away. And at this point, I don't crave it at all, at all.
Now, especially with getting rid of dairy, see, most people can understand what meat is, but dairy is in like everything. You know, it's in so many things. I mean, when you started thinking, okay, you know, all right, so no, you know, not going to have milk with your cereal, but then you're also not going to have cheese, sour cream, yogurt, a number of different things.
Right, right. And that was a difficult one for me. The big one was ice cream. I mean, I absolutely love ice cream. But once that commitment was there, it became relatively easy. You know, as of now, they've come out with a number of alternatives to dairy ice cream. You know, there's the ones that have been out there for a while. You know, they've got soy and coconut and other other substitutes. But Ben & Jerry's has come out with, I believe it's an almond-based alternative that I couldn't tell the difference, honestly. So it becomes easier and easier to do this.
Did you have to do anything differently as far as supplementing what you were losing with the meat, some of the vitamins that we get from meat?
Again, you know, becoming vegetarian or vegan has gotten easier over the years, just because there's a number of companies that have seen the number of people that are going this direction and seeing the opportunity to produce these, what I would call alternative types of foods. So, for example, there is, you know, alternative beef crumbles. There's alternative chicken strips. There's alternative sausages, hot dogs, that type of thing. And so, you know, when you first have them, you know, depending on the product, you know, some are closer than others to, you know, what we would consider the real thing. Once you get used to these, I mean, you're not giving up anything. You know, you're having a lot of the same foods that you had before. And in my mind, I kind of consider them cheater foods because, you know, the people that are, you know, really seasoned vegans, you know, they've been doing it long enough that, you know, they've got this familiarity with the various foods that are available that they don't need these cheater foods. But for me, I mean, I'm used to a certain regimen of, you know, recipes or types of foods that I eat. And so transitioning is having these alternatives has made that transition easier.
We're going to talk more about what a daily diet might look like for a vegan in a little bit, but I wanted to stay on the track as far as for what reasons people may have to choosing the vegan lifestyle. Now, yours had to deal with, first you were supporting your son, and then there were a lot of moral reasons that, you know, led you to, you know, make this commitment. What are some other reasons that other people may have?
I think the primary one, I mean, and that's the one that started me down this road, is the health implications. There have been, you know, definite, you know, lots of studies done and definite links to heart disease, cancer, diabetes. So, you know, there's a number of films that talk specifically to that. And, you know, they have numerous stories of people who, you know, they're facing heart disease, they're facing, you know, they're in danger of heart attacks, and switching their diets and having, having their symptoms regress or even disappear completely. I mean, I've heard of people who are diabetic who, by changes in their diet, turn that around completely. So, you know, to me, that's, you know, the number one, the primary reason I started down this road.
You perhaps have heard the idiom about seeing how the sausage is made, and that's because it's quite literally a belief that if a lot of people knew how sausage was made, there'd be fewer people eating it. And I know that a lot of those videos of, you know, of how the meat actually ends up at our grocery stores can be pretty graphic, and they're pretty effective for convincing a lot of people, as one was for you, as you were mentioned earlier, and being a motivator for people to choose, you know, that they would rather not eat that product.
Right, exactly. And I think I've heard the similar sayings, you know, that if, you know, if slaughterhouses had glass walls, everybody would be vegan. Yeah, for me, it's the consideration is I've got options, you know. With the way that I eat now, nothing has to die, you know. And I mean, you know, I guess I've always said that if push come to shove and I was, you know, stranded in the wilderness or whatever, you know, my choices might be very different. But as it stands today, I have options, and so I choose to eat a diet that. That does not include animal products.
What about spiritualism? Is that sometimes a motivator for people to, you know, make this choice? They, you know, for whatever religious beliefs they may have, and they may find that this is more of a pure lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that, and I mean, you know, somebody pointed out to me once. I'm trying to recall that, you know, if you look in the Bible, that initially men did not eat animals. You know, animals were, you know, kind of in the garden with, you know, with Adam, and it was only after they got, you know, ejected from the garden that men started to eat animals. And so, you know, a lot of vegans, what they're striving for is to be more like people were before they were, you know, removed from the garden.
Okay. And naturalistic religions too may follow along with that, that, you know, place the environment and certainly, you know, other animals as equal footing with humans, and that could be play a factor. I mean, in a certain percentage of the population is just trying to understand it. You know, that may not be everybody's motivation, but maybe some.
Right, exactly. I mean, people do this for you know, a variety of reasons. And, you know, with our group, that doesn't matter to us so much. I mean, you know, we've got some that do it for the health reasons, and they're hardcore. You know, they know all the numbers up and down. But then there's others who are definitely more on the moral path of this, you know. So, I mean, you know, we welcome everybody, you know, vegan or not. You know, we're just here to support, to educate. That's our goal.
So, what you have for breakfast today?
I had oatmeal today. That's a very common thing for me. It's just one of those things that I picked up, and I include. A lot of times I'll put, you know, chia seeds in there for a little added nutrition. You know, that adds some protein to it. Very simple.
All right. And I use that to try to introduce our talk here about, you know, what does a, you know, a daily diet look like, or, you know, what are some of the choices that you have? First, I should ask, you know, is it more or less expensive, or really no difference in it, as far as when you go grocery shopping, to eat vegan as opposed to, you know buying?
No, I don't think it's any more expensive. I mean, it's all a question of how much research you do and, you know, how much time you put into this. You know, like I said, there's a lot of these cheater foods out there, but them come at a cost. I mean, you pay kind of a premium price for these items. But if you did the research and you actually found, you know, the proper recipes and the right diet plan, you can do this very cheaply, very cheaply.
Is it all raw fruits and vegetables?
No, definitely not. And I mean, you can have a lot of the normal foods. I mean, for Christmas, I make a mean lasagna, you know,
with no cheese.
With no cheese, but you know, there are alternatives to that as well. And I mean, part of that is a cheese sauce that, you know, one of its primary ingredients is ground cashews. And I swear that sauce is better than any cheese sauce I ever had.
Is pastas, are they okay?
A good number of them are, yes. Yeah. You have to, you know, the one thing that when you go vegan is you get very good at reading labels. And so, you know, whenever I look at a product that I'm not familiar with, that's the first place I go is I look at the back. I look at, you know, what's in it, you know, the nutritional values, that type of thing.
Oh, okay. What are some red flags that you see that people may not notice? It's like, okay, that's a meat product. It doesn't sound like one.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I mean, they're usually pretty clear. You know, of course I am looking to see if it's meat, but I'm also looking for dairy, where it was handled, that type of that type of thing. And they're pretty clear about that. I mean, the labeling has gotten really good about, you know, indicating whether there's, you know, milk, dairy, eggs, that type of thing.
Do you find that you have to supplement your diet with vitamin pills or anything else, or can you find most of that naturally?
The one exception, most of it you can find naturally. The one thing that is a good idea to supplement is the B12. That's something that's found only in animal products, in any amount. So that's something that I supplement. Actually, I tend to do a multivitamin anyway, and I just make sure that my multivitamin has that B12.
What about protein? Because at least I know among vegetarians, I know they eat a lot of soybean mm-hmm. material. Is that the same thing?
No, I wouldn't say that that's a true statement, actually.
Oh, okay.
You know, because, you know, surprisingly, protein is very common, you know, and that seems to be kind of the first thing you hear, you know, or that's one of the first questions you get is like, well, what about protein? Because we've been told, you know, since we were born that, hey, you got to have your meat for your for the protein, you know, and so that's become kind of the centerpiece of our meals. The truth of the matter is, I mean, you know, peas have an inordinate amount of protein in them, as do beans, lentils. You know, there's other, you know, of course, there's the soy products, but chia seeds. There's, you know, any number. Spinach has a lot of protein as well. So there's numerous sources of protein. The one thing that I always say to people when they ask me about that is I'm like, well, look at a cow. You know, I mean, you know, they're not eating cheeseburgers or anything like that. So, so I mean, there's definitely ample sources of protein from plants.
Our household diet recently went through a big change for some health scares that were in the family. And one of the things was a drastic cut down of meat. I don't know if I would ever get to where you're at and not be able to, you know, and not look forward to enjoying meat. But having to drastically reduce the amount of meat that we were taking was still something that was a change. And so there we did look into where other foods had high protein. And we're finding a number of, it's slipping my mind a little bit on some of the things I would just pack in my lunch on an everyday basis that actually had, you know, some protein to it that were sure. Fruits and vegetables and things that were tasty, that were very good and were higher in protein. Everybody, you know, if you look for quick sources of protein, you always see an egg. You know, they always say, mm-hmm. hard-boiled an egg. But, you know, you find out that there was, you know, so many other things that were far better than eating, a hard-boiled egg that were actually healthier and contained more protein.
Right.
So are there any pitfalls or things you'd have to watch out for? Because, especially with people starting out in this, or they're really excited about it, and they go cold turkey, and they cut out all the meat and the dairy products, and they make it after about a week, and they're really not feeling well because they're not doing something right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, probably the biggest pitfall, like I said, was the B12. That's the one item that you can't get from non-meat sources. So that's kind of the main supplement that you want to be concerned about. But as far as the other things are concerned, just eating a complete diet. There's just so much information out there right now as far as finding recipes and things that you can make that would, you know, support a vegetarian or vegan lifestyle. You know, for me, it was really nice going from going vegetarian first, because it was kind of you're doing it like in steps, and so you're not cutting everything out. So a lot of the things that, you know, may not be, you're still getting a lot of the benefits from, you know, the milk and the other, the eggs and that type of thing, or at least psychologically you feel you are, you know. I can't really think of any real pitfalls there.
What about for an age of a person? Because, I've heard of studies where, you know, young children shouldn't be, you know, starting on a diet like this until they're a little bit older. Have you found that?
No. The information that I have read has suggested that you can do this at all stages. I mean, I read a book that talked about, you know, the considerations that have to be made for if you are going to, for a vegan mother in regards to carrying a baby to term and, you know, the things that they need to watch out for, as well as raising a baby to be vegan. And I know that there are, you know, numerous people that do that. So so it is possible. It's just mainly having the education and knowing, you know, what the considerations are.
Education, because again, somebody may want to adopt this lifestyle and they didn't realize that, you know, something was a dairy product. And, you know, so for a long period of time, they're thinking that they're reaping all the benefits of being a vegan, but they're cheating without knowing it. Mm-hmm. How do they get that information? What's the best way so that they're educated on it?
Well, to me, this is all a journey. And so, you know, I consider myself to be vegan, but, you know, truth be told, I'm vegan-ish. You know, because I'm sure there's something I'm missing, or, you know, it's always a work in progress. You're always trying to improve what it is you're doing. And yes, there are pitfalls like that, or things that you find that you're not aware of. For example, another supplement that I take is for D, you know, living in the UP. And I found that the D that I was taking wasn't vegan. Somehow, something in its manufacture, it was using some form of animal product. I'm like, boy, who knew? And so, you know, so it was at that point I actually had to go out and I had to source, you know, a form of D that didn't contain any animal products. So you're always learning. And, you know, as you talk to more vegans, you know, you get that education kind of naturally, sharing stories, sharing, you know, what it is you're doing, sharing the lifestyle. And it's a journey.
Do you find difficulty going out to eat?
That can be a difficulty. You know, there are some restaurants here that have a number of, you know, vegan items, or items that don't have any animal products. And so, you know, so I've got my restaurants that I frequent here. And that's going to be part of this group is, you know, really understanding what restaurants are out there and what they have. As a matter of fact, we just put up our website, and on our website, there's a place where restaurants can go in and, you know, enter their information and let us know what offerings they might have that would be considered either vegetarian or vegan. And our hope is to have a dining guide, a local dining guide that we can then share with other vegan organizations, because as people, you know, as people travel here, that's one thing that you're looking for. Whenever I go to a new city, I'm, you know, one of the things I do is I go and see, okay, what vegan restaurants are available in that area. And so I want to be able to provide that same information to others.
The group you're mentioning is Copper Country Vegans. You met, as we talked about previously, at the Portage Lake District Library. How can people get in touch with the group and find out more, though, beyond that?
Okay. Well, the best place to go would be to our website. It's coppercountryvegans.org. And there you've got some general information about our group, as well as, you know, some resources, books, movies, other resources where you might get some information on what this journey involves. There's also a contact form there, so if you have some questions, go ahead and fill out the contact form, and we'll get back to you.
Now, you got this thing off the ground and started putting together this group. What motivated you to do that? Because, as you know, we talked before going on. I mean, you're not a nutritionist. You don't have the background in promoting veganism until recently, with, you know, you being committed to this lifestyle. So why did you want to do it?
Well, there's a vegan group up in the it's based out of Nagani. They mainly have programs in the Marquette area, but I've been involved with a couple of their events where, you know, they do a monthly get together at restaurants, and they just kind of get together and do kind of a communal. You sit and chat, and, you know, and just that sense of community. And unfortunately, being in Nagani, that's kind of a tough thing, especially when they hold them during the week. And so I was just looking to create kind of that same thing here, because I'm sure that, you know, from what I've seen so far, is that there are a number of vegans in the area. And so, so it's just a nice thing to be able to get together with others, like-minded individuals, and, you know, just kind of share what we know.
Now, nobody could argue that you certainly appear to be in a lot better health than I am. and you said you're athletic. Does eating the way that you do, did it make it easier to work out? You were alluding to that earlier. I know that for me, when I work out, it's usually I'm starving after I'm done, and I need, you know, I feel I need the protein or whatever it is,
right,
to, you know, to replace. How do you handle it?
being an athlete, I mean, I guess I don't treat it any differently. I mean, I'm kind of the same as you, is after I work out, I like to have some source of protein. And so I've kind of got my go-to things that I eat, you know, after a workout. From being an athlete, one of the things about going vegan that has been good for me is that a lot of the foods that I would eat that were kind of not the greatest for me, they have milk and they have butter, or, you know, and so it helps keep me honest in regards to eating well.
I certainly encourage people to get in touch with Copper Country Vegans if they want to learn more. I should also stress that people should talk to their doctor to make sure that this
Right for them. Exactly. Do your own research. Speak with your doctor before you make any major changes. That's the best route to go.
Yeah, because we're not a couple of doctors. We're not a couple of nutritionists. You're just a couple of fellas here talking about a different way to eat, and appreciate you coming on the program to talk about it.
No problem.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.